Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds that your word and Holy Spirit would dwell within us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are, 505 years since the beginning of the Reformation, 505 years since Martin Luther put up those 95 theses, 505 years since he started something that he didn't really want to do and didn't really have any control over whence it got going. Because Luther was in a long line of people who had looked to the Reformation of the reclaiming and restarting and renewing of the church. People like Saint Benedict and Saint Francis, people who had lifted up the church and called it back to the care of the community, of the pursuit of the gospel, of the joy of living out Christ's love for the world. And that's really what Luther wanted to do. He wanted to have the church return to what it was called to be. Not that he was that happy with how everything was, because he had seen the abuses that were in the church and the problems that were there, but he was relatively contented to write his books and be a university professor and teach things to his students and hopefully change the church slowly that way. But an event came that changed all that. A priest named Tetzel came to a nearby town and was on an indulgence fund drive. And the indulgences had moved from a way that was deepening and broadening people's faith, helping them to connect with their faith in a more profound way, to something that was raising money and had been monetized, to, well, that was hard enough. But see, Tetzel, he came across a new scheme, a new way to earn extra money. Not only was he giving people the opportunity to contribute to the church as an act of faith and receive an indulgence, not only was he offering people an opportunity to contribute for the sake of their loved ones who had died to free them from purgatory, no, he was selling indulgences for sins that the people hadn't committed yet. He was basically selling get-out-of-purgatory-free cards. And when Luther heard this from some of his parishioners, he kind of lost it for a little while. He was so upset at this development that he sits down and he writes out these 95 theses. And you got to think about how upset he was, because he's writing these out longhand with a quill, right? He's so mad, he is scribbling all these to debate. Right now, he writes up these 95 theses for debate, and that in itself doesn't seem much like it's going to be church-changing or world-changing or really anything changing. After all, now, I'm not going to make you raise your hand, but how many of you have been to a non-political debate at a university campus? Because there are things posted all the time! Right, all over the place, all kinds of issues that people want to talk about, things on bulletin boards about why you should be really concerned about this, passionate pleas for why underwater basket weaving ought to be a valid major, all kinds of different things, and usually a couple people who are interested in that particular topic show up to that classroom and those couple people have a discussion, and that usually ends up being the end of many of those issues. But Luther got caught up, well, in technology that went viral, right? Now, it wasn't a camera. That certainly happens today. Somebody getting caught doing something either really good or something bad, because those cell phone cameras, they're everywhere, right? Like right here, right? They're everywhere, and they're recording things all the time, and suddenly they get uploaded to social media, and they're all over the place. Well, it wasn't a cell phone camera that Luther had to worry about. Those weren't around yet. But there was the most modern, the most speedy, the most transformative technology of the day that he got caught up in, and that was the printing press. So somebody took those 95 theses down and got them copied on the printing press, and a lot of copies, and they start getting spread around, and suddenly there are people talking about it everywhere, and then copies get to the bishop and the pope and the emperor, and then things really start to go sideways. It ends up being this huge conflict, and rather than a renewal movement in the church, a call to look at where the church is and do they really want to be there, it became something that was fracturing for the church. But that wasn't Luther's intention. What Luther wanted so desperately was people to return to the gospel, to grab a hold of this amazing news that though we are all sinners, as we heard in our second reading, that we are justified by Christ's grace. That the love of God is reaching out to us. That through Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice on the cross, his death and resurrection, through Jesus Christ, we are redeemed or bought back. Through Jesus Christ, we're justified or made right with God. Through Jesus Christ, we are drawn into God's own holiness. That was the thing that Luther so desperately wanted people to remember. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, wasn't just in the ownership of the church hierarchy or the priests like him or even university professors like he was in his day job. But it was for everyone. For everyone. And that good news, that amazing news, that news that was so transforming, was the thing that caught fire in the Reformation. That amazing news that God so loved the world that God gave the only begotten Son so that everyone who believed in him might not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, which was what everybody really was focused on at the time, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That was the news in the Gospel of John, the news that Paul is lifting up, the news we see again and again in the Scriptures, the news that God's love and mercy and forgiveness are at hand. And that good news, that amazing news, was the freeing news of the gospel, that freedom that Jesus talks about in the Gospel of John in a reading today. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed, freed from those things that contain us away from that good news. And let's face it, as church people, we do that all the time, right? We get caught up in stuff. It's not so long ago. It's within the memory of some people here at Zohar, where there was some real debate about whether God would really listen to prayers that were in English rather than German. It's so easy for us to get caught up in the way that we do things and not look beyond them, not see the new things that God is doing. But the gospel frees us. frees us, because if we have been saved by Christ rather than how well we're doing any particular thing, if we have been freed by what Jesus Christ has done, then our lives are opened in a brand new way. And as great as freedom is, it can have some drawbacks too. It can be some tough things as well, because freedom makes it so that the lines aren't so clear sometimes for us. We look at the Ten Commandments. You know, look at the Fifth Commandment. You shall not murder. Well, that's a pretty clear line, right? Don't murder. Stay on this side of it and you're in good shape. But Luther, in writing this small catechism and looking to the freedom that we have in Christ, said, no, what we are about, what that commandment is calling us to, is the care of our neighbor. To care for their physical health, to care for their well-being, to be looking out for each other. Well, that's a little harder. And the eighth commandment, you shall not bear false witness, right? So, no bald-faced lies and you're in good shape. But Luther, looking at that commandment, says what we are to do is to speak in the best possible light about our neighbors. To put what they say and do in the best possible light. And let's face it, that is a lot harder. It's a lot harder to put things in the best possible light for people that maybe we don't really like. But that is what we are called to. To be people of the Reformation, Christians who are caught up in continually being renewed in reaching out with the good news of Jesus Christ. And it means that we never get all the way stuck anywhere except in one thing, in the cross of Christ, because everything else is pushing us forward, forward into sharing that good news of remembering what's most important. Remember the words of my sainted uncle? The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is this: Jesus Christ, in love and forgiveness, died that you might have life. Amen.